Oh, good morning, everybody. How are we doing this morning? Good. Now, as you can see, I have Brother Jaywin up here with me, and the reason why he's here is because I was nervous this morning, so I asked him to come hold my hand throughout this. Actually, no. He's going to help me with a demonstration this morning. So, you know, the reason why I asked him up is because I've been watching Jaywin over the past few years that I've known him. And Jaywin's a guy who can do just about anything. So I wanted to challenge him this week and see if he could do this trick, okay? I have 14 nails here. And what I want you to do, Jay, is to take 13 and balance them on one. How many of you seen this one before? How many carpenters do we have here? You're supposed to know this one. Okay, let me help you out. Let me give you that. And the reason why I gave you that is because if you're going to balance anything, first of all, you need a foundation. Looks like I finally beat you in at something. Okay, pay attention now.
Another hard task.
Now, I told Jaywin about this a couple weeks ago, and I actually thought, you know, Jaywin, he don't listen to me, so he can go look him up on the internet. But he actually listened to me. My dad actually showed me this one like 30 years ago. And I remembered it. So I didn't have any 16-penny nails. So I went to his house yesterday and I asked him, Dad, you get 16-penny nails? And he knew what the message was going to be about. So he said, oh, no, you're not doing that one. Eh? So I told him, yeah. I also need you to go put them together because I forget how. Thank you very much, sir. Now, just for the record, for those who cannot see in the back, it is actually balancing on one nail, right? And if you don't believe, later on after the service, you can come check it out for yourself, okay? You know, when God asked me to speak this message, I actually thought, okay, I got to do a prop on balance. And I was watching that, what is it, America's Got Talent? And you guys saw that one that the guy actually balances on 7 chairs. Figured I would do that one. Then I thought, oh no, the ceiling too low. So not going to work. So we ended up with this. But there's something about balance, yeah? Something cool, something attractive. And when it happens like this, we seem to honor it. I remember when Wii Fit, you guys remember Wii Fit? Wii Fit first came out, and everybody had to get them because it was going to revolutionize the way America would get into shape. So we went out, we got it. We came home, and with our family, we popped that disc in. And first thing that they do on Wii Fit is when you step on that wireless board, they take a body assessment test. And as soon as you step on the board, first thing they tell you is, okay, stand still and balance. They make you balance. So we were having good fun with that. You got to keep your body as still as can be and as balanced as can be. And there's a little dot on the screen with a line down the middle, and you got to try to keep that dot right on. And right away, my family, we start challenging, and AJ, I don't know how he does it, but he did pretty good. Carlin and CJ, not so well. But then my turn, and I figure I'm going to beat AJ. So I get up on the scale, and I can do this. And what does the wee girl say? Okay, close your eyes. And I lost miserably. But why did they do that? Why did they measure your balance first? Because even in fitness, balance is very, very important. It just seems to work better when there's balance. And such is true in life. In fact, millions of dollars a year are spent on programs and systems which are aimed at aiding individuals to become more balanced in their daily routines. Why? Because it'll render them exponentially more effective. Not to mention that almost every religion in the world incorporates the concept of balance into their doctrine. Actually, some of them are fully based on the concept of balance. You know, I find it odd that Christians don't dwell on this concept more, especially with what I'm going to show you in a moment. But many religions do. They focus heavily on attaining balance. And truth be told, they are so close to the truth when they do, missing it by just a fraction. The most important fraction, yes, but they are that close. Now, why is that? Why is balance such an attractive concept to us? Why is it that even whole religions focus so heavily on it? Why is it, like I mentioned before, that balance renders us exponentially more effective in life? Before I answer that, let me show you something. Something that I think is super cool. Something that came to me about 10 years ago while I was doing devotions. And we were in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 3, that day. And if you know anything about 2 Chronicles, chapter 3, you know that it's one of the most boring sections in the whole Bible. Well, it is for me anyway. Because it's just a description of the building of the temple. All the furnishings and all the specifications, all that non-action stuff. Me, I like action. Give me the wars. I read about them all the time. But 2 Chronicles 3 is not like that. But on that day, just on that day, it wasn't boring to me at all. Because God showed me something about himself. In chapter 3, verse 3, it says, "These are the dimensions Solomon used for the foundation of the temple of God, using the old standard of measurement." By the way, the old standard of measurement, which you might see in your Bible, was the cubit. And the cubit is actually a foot and a half. I've taken it out of the NLT, where it actually gives it in feet. And it says it was 90 feet long and 30 feet wide. Now, skipping down to verse 8, it said, "He made the most holy place, the inner room, the Holy of Holies, 30 feet wide, corresponding with the width of the temple, and 30 feet deep." Now, the temple itself was 90 by 30, was rectangle. But the inner room, the Holy of Holies, the room where only the high priest was allowed to enter and to meet with God, where the Spirit of God dwelt, that room was 30 by 30 by 30. Now, when I read that, I didn't get it right away, but I knew that God was trying to show me something. Something that he had spoken. It wasn't until later that evening that I fully understood it, because that evening I was teaching a discipleship class, and part of the lesson was about the city of heaven. And I read this scripture to the class, Revelation 21, 16. Where it says, "And the city lieth four square, and the length thereof is as great as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height thereof are equal." Anybody know the name of our denomination? Four square. You know where she got it from? It was right here. What does four square mean? It means perfectly balanced. And that's when I got it, what God was trying to tell me about himself. You see, the Holy of Holies, the room in the temple that was set apart for God, was 30 by 30, four square. The city of heaven, 12,000 by 12,000, perfectly balanced. And I couldn't wait to get home that night, to get to my journal. And this is what I wrote: God dwells in balance. God dwells in balance. And isn't that so true about him? Everything that he does is balanced. Always the right amount of grace to go along with the right amount of correction. Even in creation, the way that he did it, everything was balanced. Do you know that if the axis of this world somehow, for some reason, shifted even a small amount, like 3 degrees, some parts of the planet would dry up while others would freeze. It would be chaos. Even the tiniest elements have to be in balance to support any life here. When I was working for Helco as a lineman, one of the jobs that we had to do was fix the underground wiring. You know that down in down on Banyan Drive, you know where everybody walks around in a circle on that sidewalk? Did you know underneath there are rooms that are like 20 by 20, right underneath, about 20 feet deep, under where you're walking. And these rooms contain transformers, they contain electrical wires carrying 13,800 volts running under your feet as you walk. Well, when we worked in those rooms, the most important tool that we had, that we had to have with us, was an air quality tester. Because when you're 20 feet deep, the air quality can be very different from what it is in the surface. And if that tester ever alarmed, it was always measuring the air quality, the different elements in the air. If that air tester ever alarmed, you had 30 seconds to get out of that hole before something bad could happen. Too little oxygen, you'd pass out and die. Too much oxygen, the hole would become highly flammable. Too much of the other elements like carbon dioxide or sulfur monoxide or all those other oxides, too much of that, the air would become poisonous and you get very, very sick. Just a little shift in the balance of the air quality and you'd have something dangerous. And the same thing is true in life. That's how God works, in perfect balance. And that's what those religions are searching for. Not for balance in itself, but for the God who dwells in balance. That's why it's such an attractive concept to us. Why we are more productive and effective when we are in balance. Because we were created in the image of the one who dwells in balance. Now, with all that said, let me ask you this question. How's the balance of the world today? Honestly, not so good, right? Whether it's because of the constant power struggles that exist, or the obvious lack of love, or the constant business of doing and having more and more and more. More appropriately, the conglomeration of all these things together, and the balance of this world is poor at best, right? Now let me break it down even further. And I want you to ask yourself, how's the balance in my life? Now, don't answer that one out loud. That's between you and God. But answer it. I know for myself that I rarely dwell in balance. And it's not because I don't love God. It's not because I'm not saved. It's because way too often I allow the things of this world to take precedence in my life. So I become like it, unbalanced. Maybe that's why I'm not as productive as I know I could be. Maybe that's why I'm not as effective as I know God created me to be. But I want to be. And I believe with all my heart that so do you. So the question that I should really be asking, or that we should really be asking, is how do I achieve balance in my life? Let's go back to the model here for a moment, this model of balance. What is the most important part of this thing? The foundation. It's not the nails. It's not the way that they were placed. It's not the one that is standing up straight, that it's in the right angle. Those things are very important. But the most important part is the foundation. And you can write that down into point number one. Start with a solid foundation. You want to achieve balance in your life? Always start with a solid foundation. Because you can have everything else in perfect balance up here. everything else in order. But if the foundation is shaky, balance will not happen. One of the challenges in my life when it comes to balance is that I have an addictive personality. Not in the way of drugs or alcohol, but a lot in the way of work and recreation. And Carlin will be the first one to tell you that. I way too easily become a workaholic, especially if I'm enjoying what I'm doing, if I have a sense of accomplishment. And in recreation, I've gone through hunting, softball, even golfing. And now, those things aren't bad. Work and recreation are very good things, except when they become God in your life. When every free moment needs to be spent doing these things, when they become the foundation of your life. And this world will throw all kinds of things at you, vying to be that foundation. For you, may not be a hobby, may not be work-related, might be another person, might be drugs and alcohol, might be money. But whatever it is, know this, that nothing this world can offer will ever be a suitable foundation. Because whatever it is, it's always changing. Only one thing, actually one person, in the whole universe can ever serve to be our foundation. And it's written right up there on that wall. Every week we see that. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, and today, and forever. And it's only upon the God who dwells in balance that we can find the only sure foundation for our lives. Why? Because He never changes. Everything else changes. Everything else is shaky at best, but God is solid. Psalms 18:31 says, "For who is God except the Lord? Who but our God is a solid rock?" So how do we accomplish that? How do we hammer ourselves into the foundation of God? It all begins with having a relationship of love with Him. Pastor Dennis talked about that a little bit this morning. It all begins with that relationship with Him. And some of you here this morning never heard that before. And there's nothing wrong with that. It might be the reason why you're here. Not just to come and get Pokeballs on that new Pokemon game. But it all begins with that relationship of love with Him. And later on, after this message, Jaywin's going to come back up and he's going to give you an opportunity to begin that relationship with Jesus Christ. And as with all relationships, it doesn't just stop with beginning a relationship. It has to continue to grow. If not, relationship will die. And that's why daily devotions and spending time with God every single day are so important. That's what keeps you grounded in the foundation. For the God who dwells in balance to become, and not just become, but to remain the foundation of our lives, He has to be our number one, our first priority. Which brings us to number two, which is stay well prioritized. Stay well prioritized. In Matthew 22, Jesus says this. It says that Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. For all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." You know what Jesus is talking about when He said this? He was talking about priorities. And aside from shaky foundations, there's nothing that can throw life out of balance like having your priorities mixed up. There's a social term for this, and that term is dysfunctional. Heard that one before? We see it all the time. We see it in business. When they lose sight of their priorities, their goals, serious chaos, dysfunctional. We see it in families. When they start prioritizing foolishly, fighting and bickering, dysfunctional. I see it in my life when my priorities get out of whack. Major ineffectiveness. Dysfunctional. Just another way of describing a life out of balance. Now, I've inserted five blanks in your notes, A through E. And this is what I want you to do with that. I want you to write down, in order, your top five priorities. Now, don't do it right now. This is homework, okay? I want you to really think about this one, and I want you to take the time to be really honest. What are my top five priorities? This is what mine looks like. Where I find my optimal balance point. Okay? Of course, I said God is my number one priority. And then there's Carlin. And then family, relationships. I bunched that one all into one. Because many of you fall into this list where God has placed us as very close relationships, where I'll drop anything below that list to be at your side when you need me. Okay? And then there's work and ministry, and I've also learned that when I work, it is my ministry. See, church does not stop here. It goes out into the community. And at my workplace, wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, it is part of my ministry. So I bunched that one together. And then, of course, all the way at the bottom, recreation and fitness. And that bug I get trouble with all the time. It's at the bottom, number five, but it makes its way up to number one. And then I always find myself imbalanced. Now, is this really what my list looks like right now, right at this moment? Honestly. Maybe, maybe not. Here's the thing. This is between me and God. And the same goes for you. You know why? Because you are the only one who has to answer to God for your priorities. But do realize this, that we will answer. Okay? So how do we know the real list of where we are at with our priorities? We know it like this. Matthew 6, verse 19. Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So ask yourself, where's my heart? Where are you investing your treasures, your time, your talents, your finances? That's your top five priorities. That's what your priorities are, and that's what you write down. Now, don't only write that down. You may have to do two lists, okay? Because you write down the real one, where I'm at, and then the one that would make you most optimal, where God created you to be. And don't expect your list to be the same as mine. Now, one and two should be the same if you're married. One should be the same automatically. But everything underneath that, that's between you and God. Okay? Homework is due next Sunday. Turn them into the greeters table or give them to one of the ushers. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, what I really want you to do with these lists is sit with God and simply say, "Lord, this is where you want me to be, but this is where I really am. So give me the ability to go from here to here and get my priorities right." Now notice that I've only put five lines there. The truth is that there are so many more things in our lives, right, that we do. Some of them we need to do, but many, many things that we do, we don't. Which brings us to number three. Which is, stop trying to overdo it. Stop trying to overdo it. Look at the nails again. 13 nails. Why only 13? Why not 15 or 17 or 100 for that matter? I don't know. I guess the guy who figured it out only had 13 nails. What I do know is 13 works, 13 balances, and it balances well. So often in our lives, we can be just like that. We know what works, but we want to do more, be more, have more. And when that happens, doesn't matter how strong the foundation is, doesn't matter how well prioritized we put it together, it all comes tumbling down. So the best way that I can say this, the way that makes most sense is be who God made you to be. Amen. Be who God made you to be. No more, no less. Because in that, you'll find balance. Book of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul stated it like this. He said, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect." I love that verse. 1 Corinthians 15:10. That's my life scripture. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And I may only be a 13, not a 15 like Jaywin, not a 25 like Pastor Scott, not like Pastor Alex Pacheco. You guys all know Pastor Alex, right? Well, for those of you who don't, you know he's my dad. And I'm not kissing up when I'm saying this, okay? This is the honest truth. And everybody who knows him will attest to this. That when God made him, he made him like 100 plus. The guy can do anything. I learned very early on that if I tried to be Alex Pacheco, even though my name Pacheco, I would get crushed under the things that I do. But the truth is that by God's grace, I can be just as effective as him, as anybody else, by being the best 13 I can be. To the church of Philippi, Paul wrote this. He said, "For I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And I can do all this through him who gives me strength." Many of us know Philippians 4:13. In fact, for many of you, it might be your life verse. Now, this is out of the revised NIV, but we learned it as, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Got to be very careful with that one, okay? Because I've seen so many pastors use this verse to work harder and do more and have more and have bigger churches and all that, only to watch them get crushed under the weight of what they're doing. And they say, "You know, I'm supposed to be able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And I ask myself, did Christ ask him to do that? Because if he did, he would give him the ability to do that. A lot of times we'll go out and we'll say, "I can do all things." And that's where we stop. So be real careful with that. Make sure God is asking you. Make sure you're being who you are. And be content with who God made you to be. Of course, with that, be the best that God made you to be. Don't try to overdo it, because God does not expect that. It's in being who you are that you find balance. The kind of balance that is not without effect. Amen? Now, don't put away your notes yet, because you always know when I speak, I have a bottom line, yeah? Now, as I was thinking about what the bottom line should be, I thought about the most balanced life I know of. And that's the life of Jesus Christ. Because in everything he did, he was rooted into the foundation of the living God. Now, of course, he was God. So maybe he had an unfair advantage. Actually, no, he didn't. Because he was also man. And he faced the very same challenges that this world throws at us in the very same way. But even through that, he never got his priorities mixed up. In fact, he only had two priorities. And that was to love God and love people. And he did that very well. And he never majored on the minors. He simply did what he was purposed to do. And with his final balancing act, he changed all of eternity. For in his final balancing act, he was suspended on the cross. And you see these things here? We think that these are the things that held him to the cross, that held him balanced up there. The truth is, these didn't. It was his love for us that held him to the cross. His love is what balanced out, or paid the balance for our sin. It wasn't about nails. It was about love. And because of his balanced life, he changed all of eternity that day. Now here's the bottom line. That a balanced life can impact eternity. Amen?